Another example can be found in the life of Joseph. I think that Joseph and his act of forgiveness must be up there with one of the world's greatest events. If you read the story of Joseph, I think that's Genesis 30, right through to the end of Genesis. It's clear that from a very early age, he had a strong faith. Despite all the things that were thrown at him and the apparent injustice he had to suffer from both his brothers and the Pharaoh, he knew that God had a plan for his life and was watching over him throughout. It was this faith that God allowed Joseph to forgive, that allowed Joseph to forgive his brothers for the actions they took against him. And he invited them and his father to come to Egypt. Joseph exercised his faith and forgave his brothers. This is recorded in chapter 45, verses 1 to 15. But his brothers still had doubts about his forgiveness until the death of their father, Jacob. When Joseph reassures his brothers about the forgiveness that's detailed in the reading we've just had, actually, if you read from earlier in Genesis, you can actually see where the roots of his brother's jealousy and hatred of him came from. It was the way he treated his brothers. But what would have happened if Joseph had, quite reasonably, from a human point of view, withheld his forgiveness and left his brothers and their families to starve in the land of Canaan? How would that have changed the future course of events? It's a fantastic example of the power of forgiveness at work. That move to invite the people of Jacob's people to come to Egypt was what was God's plan, and ultimately led to Moses leading them out of Egypt to the promised land. If we look at the reading from Luke, there's clear instruction here about what is likely to happen to us, and what our response should be, and what the Lord expects from us. In this passage, Jesus is giving us instruction about what to do. Jesus warns us that there is no doubt that as we go through life, we're going to encounter things that will cause people to stumble. Encountering sin is going to happen. It's inevitable. There's no doubt, no way of avoiding it. We're going to encounter sin in our lives. We, along with others, are going to get things wrong. We need to watch out for stumbling blocks. And there's a warning for those who would cause other people to stumble. There are consequences. So we are specifically told to be alert to this risk and ensure that we don't fall into this category of people that lead people astray. Don't be complacent. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And don't be drawn into areas that are best avoided. You see, it's really easy to see the flaws and faults in other people and overlook the fact that we have some areas of our own behaviour that need to be addressed. Again, if we look at the story of Joseph, yes, his brothers did wrong, but Joseph's behaviour towards his brothers before they sent him into slavery was not good. Perhaps Joseph should have sought the forgiveness of his brothers. Our relationships with other people are a key area of concern. The actions we've taken over this pandemic have resulted in a lot more isolation between us. And it's highlighted the fact that as a people of God, we need to mix with each other. Otherwise, we go nuts. We need to be able to live together. We need personal interaction. But mixing together throws up issues. It seems we have problems if we live without each other, or try to, but we also have problems if we try to live with each other. But we're meant to live with each other. We need to find a way to overcome these issues and to love one another. Some people that we encounter are very challenging on a day-to-day basis, and some just rub us up the wrong way. Some we just get irritated with and have sort of an irrational dislike for somebody. but we may also form unwise relationships and be led into sin. A large proportion of the people that we have a relationship with will present us with a challenge at some point in time. Whatever the circumstances, we need to be obedient to God and develop behaviours to enable us to get over this in the way that God wants. As a people, from time to time, we're going to suffer brokenness in our lives, in our relationships, in our families, in our workplaces, in the church, in our communities. We need to be able to fix these things if we're going to live our lives as God intends. If someone sins against us, we're told to rebuke them and forgive them. To really grasp forgiveness, a person needs to recognize and repent of their sin. But as I've already mentioned, each one of us has succumbed to sin. We also need to recognize and repent of our sins. What's being asked here is quite difficult. Just the thought of rebuking somebody is quite challenging itself. But we do need to deal with sin. You can't simply ignore it. If you fail to deal with it, then you're going to not be helping anybody. The person who's sinned, their behavior will not change. And chances are they'll just carry on sinning. So you do need to rebuke them, but this should be done in a loving and constructive way. Then, having forgiven somebody, when they do the same thing again, you're expected to forgive them again and again and again. This is the way the Lord forgives us. When seeking forgiveness, repentance should not be taken lightly. You need to be intent on turning this aspect of your behavior around. However, in practice, when we sin, then repent and seek the Lord's forgiveness, we can often find ourselves doing exactly the same thing again in no time at all. But the Lord will forgive us again and again. See, the apostles in this passage seem to understand what was expected here. Be aware of sin in the world. Don't cause others to sin. Rebuke sin in your brother or sister. Repent of your sins and forgive in the same way as the Lord forgives you. It's quite difficult, this. How can you be sure that you're not causing others to sin? How can you forgive somebody when they repeatedly sin against you? This is what the Lord expects from us. Are we able to do it? Is it really possible? Well, it is if you have faith in God. It's through our faith in the Lord that He gives us what He promises. God has never promised that life will be easy, but life will be good. He's not promised that you'll never feel lost, but you'll never be lost. He's not promised you health and wealth, but He has promised you eternal life, eternal riches, and a special room in heaven. Through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and His resurrection, we can claim the promises of God. When we repent and turn to the Lord, our sins are forgiven. And we can look forward to a life of faithful service for the Lord and ultimately to living life eternal in the house of the Lord. It's through our faith that we receive God's promise of forgiveness. Our forgiveness comes from the Lord. And it's through that same faith that we are enabled to forgive others. It's not an option. We're instructed to forgive in the same way as the Lord forgives us. So surely we need more faith. But Jesus tells us that we don't need more faith. even a small amount of faith is more than adequate. What needs to happen is our faith needs to be used. Like muscles in our body, faith needs to be exercised in order to grow strong. Rely on your faith and strengthen it. If we have enough faith to receive God's forgiveness, then we should have enough faith to forgive others. Towards the end of the reading, Jesus makes it clear that these things are all expected when you're serving the Lord. If somehow you manage to achieve all these things, and then you still remain the Lord's servant, there's no special treatment just because you've done what's expected of you. We're not using our faith to get what we want. Rather, it's through our faith that we receive God's promises. Of course, the reality is that we often fail to achieve all that we should. If we don't exercise our faith, then it will remain weak. While our faith lies dormant, Satan is quite content. His job's done. We need to be aware that in practice, if we try to exercise our faith, then we will awake Satan and he will attack us. Forgiveness is a key area where we need to follow the example of Jesus. And in the areas where it really costs or hurts us, we need to stand firm and pay the price. It's the difficult areas that we find that we need to really work at. Our forgiveness will demonstrate the love we have for each other and will overcome the power of Satan. But failure to forgive will leave long-term bitterness and anger. And we place the victory back in Satan's lap. How do you respond when people sin against you? One route leads to love, peace, and contentment, while the other leads to bitterness, anger, and fear. Our Lord wants the very best from us. He wants us to forgive. It leads to a healthy life. Failure to forgive leads to pent-up bitterness, and that leads to poor health. So I ask you this morning, are you harboring bitterness or anger against anybody? Have you failed to or even decided to, that you're unable to forgive somebody for a wrong they've committed against you? If you do, you need to address this. It can be really difficult to forgive somebody, but we're instructed to forgive. If we have even a little faith, then we should be able to claim the promises of God, and this includes forgiveness of our sins. And through this, we're able to forgive each other. So some of you here this morning will know that they need to let go of some hurt they've got, or repair some relationship, or forgive somebody. And this may be hard, but you may feel, for instance, that you've not had your justice. It's been unfair. But that's what the Lord has done for you. So I urge you this morning to go away and decide to fix things. Aim for love, peace, and contentment. Let go of bitterness, anger, and fear. Let's leave that with you for this morning to take away.